Episode 1, here we go.
You're listening to the Fantaku Fix podcast. Talking fantasy novels, manga, anime, and more with some guy named Ben.
I am way, way too proud of that intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Fantaku Fixed. I'm so excited to get this started. So today, we will be going over exactly what this podcast will entail, and I'll introduce myself as well. So again, my name is Ben, and a little bit about me. I have tried multiple things over the years to scratch that creative itch. Actually started in 2021 with a little YouTube channel focusing on anime. That only lasted for a couple months, I believe, and I honestly don't even remember the name of the channel. I was racking my brain the other day trying to remember it to see if there's anyone out there who I maybe connected with and forgot about. But I cannot remember, honestly. Then in 2022, I started another attempt at a YouTube channel. And that channel was called Ben Panics. That's a bit of a play on words for my actual last name. But that was more focused on fantasy novels. I think at the time I was reading The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and just was enjoying it so much that I started a channel. Again, that only lasted a month or two. 2023 was my best foray into the creative content world, where I started Binding Voyage, which was kind of a mixed channel of fantasy novels, manga, and a little bit of anime thrown in. And I think that was the closest thing to what I would want to produce creatively. However, I did rebrand that channel to Ohio Taku, and that kind of became a little more focused, or heavily focused, on anime. Now, the problem that I've noticed with trying to create content, at least for me, is I think I am not the type of person to be set in one niche. There are channels out there that focus 100% on manga or anime or fantasy novels, and they do such a good job. They're very well-versed in their mediums. But I'm never going to be that. I think what I enjoy is a little too diverse. And if I commit to one medium, say anime or manga or novels or any of my other hobbies, I tend to kind of get sick of it. And maybe don't enjoy the content as much if I'm pressuring myself to focus on it wholly and push out all this content. So, with that being said, I still want to have some type of creative outlet to share my thoughts on the things I love with others. So that's what leads us to the Fantaku Fix podcast. And the name Fantaku, that is part fantasy, because my love for fantasy novels, and then otaku, because of the otaku things like anime and manga that I am also interested in. So the core of these podcast episodes are always going to be either fantasy novels or sci-fi novels, manga, or anime. There's always going to be a core of that type of content, be it first impressions of a manga or spoiler-free reviews for a book. From there, I do have other hobbies and other things I'm interested in that I'd like to maybe bring up every now and again. So that might be sprinkled in as well. Outside of these things, I love history. Some of my favorite YouTubers are history channels. I also love baseball. Probably not going to have any sports talk on here, though. So each episode will have a... Sorry for clearing my throat. Maybe that was ASMR to some weirdos out there. But each episode will have a content spotlight for maybe one or maybe a few different pieces of material. Today's is going to be a spotlight on a novel called Stardust by Neil Gaiman. Then we will also have a couple first impressions of some newer manga, Quartz, like the rock, and Sister and Giant. So, without further ado, let's just start talking about Stardust. And again, this will be a spoiler-free kind of review recommendation. And if I do get to the point where I'm wanting to talk about some spoilers, I'm going to save all of the spoilers for the end of the episode. So nothing will get spoiled. And just a heads up for novels, I don't consider anything within the first 25% of a novel to be a spoiler, because that usually tells you what the book's about. And with manga, anything in the first chapter, I think, is fair game, too. Because that is just an introduction to the characters and the world and what it's about. So, Stardust by Neil Gaiman. Now, I know Neil Gaiman's been in the news a bit lately. There are some allegations against him, but I'm not going to talk about that. I know there's a argument or conversation to be had out there about separating an author or a creative from their material. And I honestly don't know the answer. I see both sides. I completely understand if you want to avoid some material because of something the creative has done, or I could see not really caring because it's just a piece of material. It's just entertainment, and it doesn't have anything to do necessarily with that person. But I'm not going to touch that. I'm sure there are other discussions out there that you can find. But I love Neil Gaiman's writing style and the way he tells stories. If you have never read a Neil Gaiman story before, I like to kind of explain them as fairy tales for adults. And I think that is just so cool and something that I haven't found many other authors to do very well. And if you are not a big reader, and you enjoy movies, I would compare his stuff to Guillermo del Toro, like Pan's Labyrinth or The Shape of Water, where those are very clearly fairy tale stories, but told for adults. There are adult themes. There's violence. There's gore. There's sexual content. Things like that that necessarily aren't meant for children. However, the vibe of a fairy tale is still very, very present. And I think that is so cool because you get this sense of wonder and this sense of nostalgia just because of the way these stories are told. The first book I read by Neil Gaiman was Ocean at the End of the Lane, and that was my favorite book I read in 2023. Very short book and very, very good. And Stardust has a lot of the same vibes. So what is Stardust about? I'll start off by just sharing my more of my feelings and maybe some of the themes. So if you hear these themes and my feelings on it and you decide you really want to read it, I say skip everything else I say about it, even though they're not spoilers, just because I think that 99.9% of the time it is always best to go into a book or a manga or whatever movie completely blind. And that is my experience with this book. That's my experience with a lot of these books. Because being surprised when reading something is so great, and just having no expectations. So the major theme in this book is that the journey you go on is just as valuable, if not more valuable, than the end goal. And there is a book I read years ago called The Alchemist by Pablo Coloa. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that is just a great, very philosophical book. And the core of that is, again, valuing the journey more than the end. Because you might get to the end and you don't understand the end. You don't understand where your life has led you, where this journey has led you. You might be disappointed, but the journey you went on could be something very impactful and beneficial to you. So that is one of the main themes in this book. This is a very short book, maybe a little over 200 pages. So you could read this. I mean, even if you're a slow reader, you could read this in a week, no problem. I wouldn't say it's quite as impactful as Ocean at the End of the Lane, but it is just as enjoyable. Now, again, if this sounds like something up your alley and you'd like to read it going in blind, you can just skip to the next section. I'll have timestamps. I'll have timestamps listed. But spoiler-free overview of the plot. We follow a boy named Tristran, who lives in this town somewhere in the UK. And this is like a fictional Victorian England kind of vibe. But this town is kind of on the outskirts, very rural. And this town is called Wall. And there is a wall outside the town that is always guarded with just one entry. And the wall goes to this forest, this magical forest, where every 9 years, I believe, there is a marketplace that opens up on the other side of this wall, and all the villagers from the town and travelers coming for this specific event are allowed to go past the wall. And the people on the other side of the wall are mythical. It's almost like a border between a real world and then a fantasy world. Now, Tristran, his father, crossed the wall one year and had some relations with some mythical person on the other side. So that is how he was born. So he is part normal human and then part like fantasy world human. So while he's growing up, he has this crush on a girl in the town of Wall, and he basically is trying to propose to her. And as they're having this conversation, she's just like, nah, nah, nah. They see a shooting star And the girl points to the star, Tristan points to the star, and he says, "If I go find you that star and bring you that star, will you marry me? Or will you," I think that's what it was, "either marry or will you fulfill all my dreams," or something along those lines. And the girl's like, "Yes, if you bring me that star, you can have whatever you want. I cannot say no. I'll marry you, I'll, whatever." So Tristan goes off on his journey to find this fallen star. And this journey is so entertaining, so strange, so mystical, so fantastical. It's funny, it's emotional, and it gets dark at points too. So it's a little bit of everything. The last thing I'll say, again, these aren't spoilers. This is all very beginning of the book. He finds the star, and the star is a girl. So he is transporting this girl, who is a fallen star, back towards the town of Wall to present her to his childhood crush. And my goodness, I loved this book. I loved every minute of it. Neil Gaiman is great with his prose. I think a very underrated quality of his is the comedy, because he will write things that are just inherently funny without it being set up as something funny or set up as comedy. Just the stories, those little stories are funny. We get to see these, we get to follow a few different characters in this fantasy world. Very, very creative. There's a lot of twists on these fantasy tropes. We get to see witches. We get to see royal families, kind of like evil dark lord royal families, and Tristan as a character, he's kind of a doofus, so he's very likable. The star is extremely likable too. They have this awesome chemistry, this bickering throughout the whole story. Some of the creativity, some of the imagination on display in this short story is just so impressive. I'm not going to get into spoilers, like I said, and I don't even think I want to talk about them later on, because this is just such a short book. There's really not all that much to dig into. I will just hint at my favorite scene for those who have read this. There is a scene with I have two very favorite things about this book. There's a scene with a unicorn and a goat man. That's all I'll say. But that has stuck with me ever since I read it. And I loved it. The other thing I loved about this book was the portrayal of the witch and the witches, because I love witches. They are one of my favorite kind of old school horror, or even old school like fantasy archetypes. And they're not done all too often in the old school way. The old hag that can turn into a seductress and all that. I just think that was so well done in this book. Super creepy, super fun. So in conclusion, I would rate Stardust by Neil Gaiman a 9 out of 10. Almost perfect book. A perfect 200 pages. My only little complaint, it's not even complaint, I just liked Ocean at the End of the Lane better. I thought that was a little more emotionally impactful. That had a little more of a horror vibe to it, so maybe that is why. But I love this book. If you've never read Neil Gaiman, this is a great jumping off point. Highly recommend checking that one out. All right, now let's talk about some manga. First up, let's do a first impressions for A Kingdom of Quartz. So this first impression, this will just be on the first volume. That's all I've read so far. There are two volumes out, I believe. And no announcement for a third volume, which is strange. But Kingdom of Quartz, the way I will sell this is Attack on Titan meets Witch Hat Atelier meets, well, those are the two big ones, I'd say. I did look at some descriptions and some people comparing it to Maiden Abyss, which I don't know if I'd go that far yet, but maybe it gets even darker later on. But first off, the synopsis. Now, this takes place in a world of angels and demons. And these angels have set up this new city or country that is protected by angels, and no demons are able to get in, allegedly. And there is a orphanage where our main character, whose name is Blue, is being raised. She is an angel, but she has black wings for some reason. All other angels have the white wings. But Blue wants to grow up to be a fighter, to be an archangel who protect the angels, humanity, who fight against the demons. Now, this city honestly looks like a lot like you would expect in a fantasy anime or manga. It is a walled city, and it has multiple layers of the walls like Attack on Titan. One day, some demons break through, or just appear, in this town, and mass destruction ensues. Blue sees a lot of her classmates, her teachers, people she cares about, die or get wounded terribly. She passes out. She wakes up. The demon has been defeated. And we see that it was Blue who defeated the demon. She has some dark special power inside of her that released. Now, the leader of the angels notices her and is very intrigued by her. So he kind of puts her by his side and keeps an eye on her because he's terrified of her, but also can see that she's got a lot of potential to be very useful. The art in this is so, so good. It is akin to Witch Hat Atelier. The main character does look a lot like Coco. And that's an easy comparison right off the bat. But it's beautiful artwork. The demons are absolutely terrifying. They kind of look like the biblically accurate angels, like just super odd designs and really creepy. There's a surprising amount of gore. Like, it got hardcore and dark. But I am so curious about the lore, about the background to this world, how everything works, seeing what's outside of this kingdom. And our main character is very likable. And the scenes where she does lose control, or the scene that she lost control and has this immense power, like, it was so well done. Some of these panels, you see, like, you can clearly see it's like light and dark coming together and kind of opposites, black and white, or good and evil, kind of mixing together into her. Her eyes change. Like, I think her pupil becomes a spade. So really, really intriguing. Great start. And I haven't seen many people talking about it, which is a shame, because I think this could absolutely explode. Again, we have a void that is needing to be filled from Attack on Titan ending. It's pretty unfair to try to compare it all the time to Attack on Titan, because Attack on Titan was great. But this possibly could fill that void. Can't wait to read Volume 2. I bought it, just haven't read it yet. And again, I haven't seen an announcement for Volume 3. So I am going to give the first volume of Kingdom of Quartz a 9 out of 10 as well. Fantastic start. My only little complaint is that our main character, Blue, looks exactly like, not exactly, but very, 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 very similar to Coco. And that's, I don't know if that's a fair complaint, but a little bit of a little more originality in her character design would have been a little better, I think. But other than that, fantastic first volume. Now, the last piece of material I want to talk about is another first impression of a manga, and that is Sister and Giant. I knew nothing about this one going into it. This is one I don't think it's, it doesn't matter if you go on blind or not. I enjoyed it. And this one is about, so it's an isekai. I did not know that, even though I guess there is like a subtitle on it. It's Sister and Giant, and then it says something about this girl being transported to another world, which I did not pick up on. But this fantasy world that this girl is transported into, there are giants. It's pretty standard fantasy world, honestly. But this girl that gets transported there has some major, major trauma, major relationship trauma from her real life. Real world. I'm not going to get spoilery, but there's some dark stuff that happened to her. I can't remember if it's revealed in the first chapter or not. But she's clearly a broken human with a lot of trauma. She meets up with this giant girl. Ellis. Ellis is her name. And her character design is so good. So, so good. She reminds me a lot of Sawara from Sawara and the House of Monsters. And she's got elf ears, too. It's just such a great design. But they have this friendship, this kind of sisterhood friendship, which there is a Yuri tag, which I did not know. So there's definitely some kind of either sisterhood love or maybe a little bit of romantic Yuri love going on there between the two. But they help each other out in this world. There's some dark, dark stuff that happens here. They are fighting these members of a church that are wanting to take her out. I think they're very anti-otherworlders. Oh, man. And then Ellis, when she fights, it is so good and gory, like shockingly gory. I was not expecting how violent this was going to be, because the cover art looks really cute. Ellis looks really cute. And she has a shovel and she just beats the crap out of these other monsters and humans with a shovel. Just things exploding everywhere. Really cool, though. Really cool. Really well done. My one concern about this series is it might get a little too dark or a little too depressing. There are some heavy topics here. I guess I should warn that there's talk of suicide in this. So just a heads up if you are sensitive to that. But everything else though was really good. And if that's your vibe, if you like those really dark stories with the depressing vibes, yeah, this would be a good one. Artwork great. So far the plot and story has been really good too. So I'm definitely looking forward to reading volume two here shortly. And I think that comes out today, actually. Today is September 17th. Okay, so that's all the content I wanted to spotlight in today's episode. Now, aside from that, I'll just do a quick little overview of what I'm planning to read next or what I've got going on. So this morning, I just finished my next novel, and that is This Spear Cuts Through Water. So next episode, there's a good chance that'll be a spotlight. That is a very interesting book, one of the most interesting, unique reading experiences I think I've ever had. As far as manga go, there's a lot I'm hoping to get to soon. Now, Sawara, I'm a little behind. I need to read volume three. Kingdom of Quartz, gonna get to the next one. Handyman Saito, which is phenomenal, hilarious. I want to get caught up there. Go-Go Loser Ranger, I'm like four volumes behind, and also Chain Soldier. So those are my goals for the next couple weeks. As far as anime go, I'm really enjoying two shows from summer 2024 right now, and that is No Longer Allowed in Another World. Such a surprise to me, was not expecting that to be so good, and it is one of my favorite anime I've seen in a while. And then Wistoria, Wand and Sword, it's been phenomenal as well. So once those are wrapped up, I'm sure I'll be talking about those on the content spotlight. And then one other anime I'm watching is, well, it's a rewatch. I'm rewatching Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood with my wife. That was the first anime we watched together, probably 10 years ago now. So that's fun to revisit. Okay. So, episode one of Fantaku Fix is in the books. I am so excited to get this started and have this creative outlet. Please let me know in the comments on YouTube what your thoughts are on any of these things I covered today. If you have any requests of anything you'd like me to cover, please leave them in the comments as well. Please feel free to share this with anyone who you might think would enjoy it. Thanks so much for listening. And I will see you guys very, very shortly. Take care.